I just have to give a quick shout out to all of our tech team who have been working so, so diligently to make sure everything goes out to you in the ways that it has, and working hard to just consistently elevate excellence. They've done a phenomenal job, and I think we should all send them cookies when this is done. And it will be done. If you can't bake, figure something else out. We'll excuse you on the cookies. I'm glad you're with us today. Our elder team did meet this particular week, and we have decided to go ahead and postpone restarting our services. In fact, continuing to have services here online until April the 11th. April the 11th. Now, April 12th is Easter Sunday, and we are praying and we are hoping, we are believing that this will have come to a close and we are going to be able to meet here on Easter Sunday in person with one another. And when that happens, it is going to be awesome. But we will make that decision as we move forward. We don't know everything that's going to happen just yet. So until April the 11th, we will continue our online services and consistently work to deliver excellent content to you and help us all grow together in Christ Jesus. I do encourage you, if you're able, to give. And on the bottom of the screen here, we have the opportunity, the directions, if you will, to be able to give your tithe and offering online. This is a difficult time for everyone. We know that. We are in a strong place as a church. And so we just say, give as you are able, and let God bless your life as He continues to guide us through each and every part of this. And I agree with Pastor Benton that if this is blessing your world, that I encourage you to share this with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors. And let's get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. It's a unique thing to be able to communicate with you in this manner where I can't really see you. I don't know you. I don't know who's watching. I don't know where you're at. But here's what I do know. I do know that the presence of Almighty God reaches right to wherever you are. He is here right now, and He is using us for His glory. He's using us as a church for His glory. I'm looking at what God is doing in Sylvania, in the Toledo metro area, through McCord Road Christian Church, and I'm excited to see it. I'm proud of us as a church. I'm proud of how our congregation and how this faith family has come together and is doing things to make a difference in this world. I give a shout out to Betty Bassett and the outreach team for just coordinating things so well and loving so many people in our community. Christy and I had the privilege of delivering food to one of the families that had ordered from Sauter's. And Sauter's Market is a local grocery store who we've partnered with to be able to deliver food to those who are 60 years old and older. They call in and Sauter's puts their orders together, and then we deliver it to them. And Christy and I had the privilege of meeting this family. And they live not too far from the church, and we drove up to their house and rang the doorbell, and we waited, and they came to the door and they opened it up and opened up the door, and we were able to deliver them these groceries that they needed. And the lady was holding some money, and she kept trying to give me money in my, and I said, no, this is a blessing. This is a blessing to you. And she said, what? I said, yeah, this is a blessing to you. We're just here to bless you. And she said, oh, I don't, okay. It was confusing. It was confusing to her. In fact, my understanding is that many people have come back from delivering these groceries with the same story, that people keep trying to give them money. Now, listen, if you're here to, if you just want to make some money, don't go deliver groceries with McCord, okay? We're blessing people. But the thing that folks did not get was that we were just there to bless them, that out of the abundance of our hearts, the heart that God has put into this church, we're blessing people around us, and it's hard for some to understand. It's hard for others to receive, but it's your privilege and my privilege to give this and to offer this to the family to families in our community. And so thank you for being that kind of a church. Well, we are going to get into the word of the Lord here. We've been in this Still Waters series. We're in lesson number 3 of the Still Waters series, and we're looking at this concept of rest. What does it mean to rest? And a couple of months ago, when, you know, we had a plan going into the year, and I connected with the team and the staff, and I said, listen, I don't feel like we need to go in the direction we had intended. We're going to go in another direction. And we came up with this Still Waters series, not knowing where we were going to be today. But it could not be more God-ordained that we are talking about what we're talking about right now. In Psalms chapter number 23, we recognize that a major benefit of being a child of God, of God being our shepherd, is that he restores our soul. He renews our life. He makes our life new again. One translation says, he revives my life. It's true in salvation, but it's also true in a daily walk with Christ. As a child of God, with him empowering your life, it is true that he is consistently reviving you. We said that a call to faith in Christ is a call to rest in life. And then last week we talked about the fact that resting in him is our part, and his part is offering that rest, and that the attitude of rest is humility. We must be humble in order to accept the rest that God has for us. And today I want to talk for a few minutes on what the posture of rest is. What is the posture of rest? Now, Psalms chapter 23 is our key scripture for this entire series, and our kids have helped us out with this psalm, and so we're going to let you enjoy our children giving you or reading for you Psalms 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside the still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness.
For his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will feel no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil.
My cup runs over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
It just doesn't get any better than that. But I want you to notice the postures that are represented here in Psalms 23. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it says that he leads me beside the still waters. It says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so there's a posture of sitting, or in the culture that David is writing from, many people would not be sitting at a table. In fact, they would be laying down near a table. The tables would be very, very low in more of an Eastern cultural context. And so no matter how you look at this, we're lying down, we're being led, we're sitting. And so what we discover is, and this is our big idea today, that the posture of rest is vulnerability. The attitude of rest is humility, and the posture of rest is vulnerability. In fact, this is our situation today. And it's a situation that we don't like. We don't like being vulnerable. We don't like feeling vulnerable. And today in our nation, COVID-19, this pandemic has changed everything in just weeks. Our world is altered completely, and we don't like it. And we really don't like that we don't know how long this is going to last. I've talked to people throughout the week, many, many people, business owners to in every strata, and what I've discovered is the same thing being said. If I just knew how long this was going to last, I'd feel a lot better. If I knew that my resources were going to outlast this pandemic, I'd be okay. If I knew that I wasn't vulnerable in these particular areas, then I would feel better about it. If I knew that the government was going to offer this kind of program or that kind of program to reduce my vulnerability, I would feel better. The fact is, all of our securities have suddenly become vulnerabilities. And we don't like it. Just the idea of going to our favorite coffee shop becomes, impossible. The idea of walking up to a friend and giving them a hug. There's some risk involved in that right now. The idea of just worshiping the Savior with people that you love in the place that you love and coming together as a church family, as a faith family, that we're not able to do that effectively right now. Why? Because, there's this COVID-19 thing out there and suddenly things aren't quite as secure, and we've discovered that we have some vulnerabilities in our life, and the things that we're accustomed to aren't just like they normally are. We find that we're vulnerable. We don't like it. I know that I don't like it. But here's the reality. Rest does not exist without vulnerability. You can't rest without becoming vulnerable. I have three thoughts for us today, and thought number one is this. Vulnerability is universal in nature. It's universal in nature. There's never been a time where humanity wasn't vulnerable in some way. But we don't really think about that very often. We certainly don't dwell upon it. We do all we can to insulate ourselves from vulnerability. We do things like get an education so that our futures can be secure. That's what we call it. That's what we say. If we get an education, we can secure our future. We do things like establish strong careers so that, whatever happens, we still have a way to make a living. We buy insurance. We buy insurance on our cars. We buy insurance on our homes. We buy insurance on ourselves. We buy insurance on all kinds of things. And then we buy umbrella policies. That's insurance on top of insurance in order to ensure that we're not vulnerable in any particular way. But the fact is, none of those things really bring total security. There is still vulnerability. Every one of those things is good. Every one of those things is right. But they are all limited in nature. Education doesn't always pay off the way that we think. When I was a little kid, I'll never forget it. I was sitting at a kitchen table of a friend of mine that it was a Friday and a Saturday morning, and I was spending the night with some friends, and we were sitting at a breakfast table the next day, and his father was sitting across from me. Well, I knew that his father was the janitor of the local middle school. And this man was smart. I knew he was smart. I knew that, I enjoyed being there with them and had a lot of respect for him. But I asked him, I called his name, and I said, I hope that I don't offend you in this, but I just wanted to ask, did you ever think about going to college or getting an education? And he was reading the paper at the time, and he kind of closed the newspaper, and he smiled, this little smirk, and he said, well, I did go to college. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I actually have a master's degree. I said, you have a master's degree? He said, yeah. And I was quiet for a while. And I said, but I didn't know how to ask the question. And he said, you're wondering why, if I have a master's degree, that I'm the janitor at the local middle school that's right down the street. And I said, yes, sir. That's what I'm wondering. And he kind of laughed. He said, well, my master's degree is in ancient English literature. And there's just not a lot of jobs out there for people with master's degrees in ancient English literature. He said, so in order to provide for my family, I work at the local middle school as a janitor. You see, he had an education. But the education did not give him the end result that he was hoping it would or thinking it might when he was pursuing this education. We know that careers don't always go the way that we think that they will. And sometimes, even if they're strong, they will fade in time. We know that insurance can be canceled. However we try to guard ourselves from vulnerability, the fact is it's universal in nature. In fact, in the realities of now, we often minimize the battles that are fought yesterday. The now is important. We see the issue now. We're struggling now. We're pushing now. We're fighting the battle now. And we forget that humanity has always been fighting, always been pushing. And we minimize the battles fought yesterday. In fact, wars, some of you that are watching right now, you were alive when World War II was going on, when Vietnam was going on. You experienced wars that lasted for years. But what we know about them most today is compiled in 60-minute segments in documentaries that the majority of people don't watch. When I think about the Great Depression, this is 10 years of struggle and movement and the American people and the nation trying to push its way back out of a negative place. And recently I discovered there's about a five-hour mini-series that was developed all about the Great Depression, but it was kind of a flop because not many people watched it because it was too long and too boring. These 5 hours were too long and too boring, but reality was 10 years of people's actual lives. Nothing boring about it as they pushed forward for survival. We think about the church, and church history is often whitewashed with the filter of time. We forget how much the church really has gone through over the years, and not only gone through, but survived within and thrived from. If you go back even further, the early church faced persecution like jail and whipping and stonings. And these are things that our modern culture cannot quite really wrap our heads around. We read about it in a book, but it's almost like it's happening in a movie. We don't think about it being the reality of somebody's life. Even in our current situation, I have good friends that live around the world. And I'm thinking of one particular nation and one particular friend that right now, even in the state that we are in today, they would love to trade their position with our condition. They would be thrilled to be living where you are right now and where I am right now, even facing what we're facing. I'm not minimizing the struggle that we're going through at all. I'm just saying we, even in our struggle, we remain blessed by God. We are blessed by God. Vulnerability is universal in nature, and there is no escaping all vulnerability. It will, in fact, here's some really good news for you, it's going to exist until Jesus returns. Is that good news? Well, this is scriptural. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. The Bible says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So in the language of history, sometimes things seem kind of backwards as how they're being stated. So let's modernize what is being said here. And this is in the Micah Stephen Sutton paraphrase of the Bible. That's what MSSP stands for. It says, listen. You'll have many tests in life in times of great sadness. That's reality in this world. The good news is I've overcome the world. I beat it. I won. And I told you this because when facing the test or sadness, you can find peace in me. You can be safe, even when vulnerable, if you allow me to cover your life. Yes. Yes, vulnerability is universal in nature, but we can be safe when we allow Christ to cover our life. Our thought number two is this: Jesus calls us to choose our place of vulnerability. That's what he's calling us to when he calls us to rest. Vulnerability is universal in nature, but you can choose where you place your vulnerability. You need to choose. I need to choose. He said, you're going to be vulnerable. Choose to be vulnerable in me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We know We know that rest is a physical need. It's also a spiritual calling. But it is a choice of vulnerability. It's you and I saying, I choose to be vulnerable here. I choose to be vulnerable, Lord, in you or with you. It means being vulnerable with Jesus, saying to him, Jesus, I'm tired, I'm burdened, and I cannot do this on my own. And I'm placing myself and all of my vulnerabilities, I'm placing them in you right now, and I'm trusting you with them. It's not easy. Choosing your place of vulnerability is a difficult thing. When young men are growing up, oftentimes they're told, boys don't cry. Real men don't cry. But what they're really being taught is that real men don't show their vulnerability. They don't open themselves up like that. Leaders, whatever area of leadership you may be in, leaders are often taught, don't show how you really feel. Don't let people know how you really feel. And what they're really being taught is leaders cannot express their vulnerabilities. Last week during one of the devotions, I shared with you one of my vulnerabilities. I'm afraid of mice and rats. And you can judge me if you want to. That's your privilege. It's your right. But it doesn't change my reality. And all week long, I've been receiving testimonies. And no one seems to be praying for me. Everybody seems to just be enjoying telling me all their mice and rat stories, which, God bless you, keep on sending them. I just file them where they really need to go. It's all good. But somebody recently shared that they had, a friend of theirs had opened up their printer drawer because their printer stopped working. They opened up the printer drawer and in the drawer where the paper should be was a bunch of seeds and a mouse. And they said that they handled it. They cleaned up the printer and then they went on and the printer's working fine now. And I responded where that I would have had a printer size hole in the wall of my house had that occurred in my home. And that's just it. I exposed a vulnerability. And what's happening is a lot of my loving friends and caring people in my life are deciding to exploit that vulnerability with all of their stories. I love you. That's the nature of being vulnerable. You're letting people into your world, allowing them to see the areas, the things that scare you, the areas that hurt. See, openness can result in hurt, but it is the only way to receive help. Openness can result in hurt. Now, nobody's actually hurting me about this whole mice rat thing. I knew what I was doing whenever I opened up that door. It can result in hurt, but vulnerability is the only way to receive help. If you go to the doctor today and tell them that you're dealing with a physical issue, but won't tell them what it is, or won't allow them to examine you, or if it's a surgery situation, won't allow them to cut into you and you won't allow yourself to become vulnerable. They cannot help you. They cannot heal you. And it's the same with Christ. Choosing to be vulnerable with him is choosing to allow him to bring his healing power, his rest into your world. Choosing our place of vulnerability is choosing really where we will place our faith. I will place my faith in the one that I choose to be vulnerable with. The one that I am most vulnerable with in this world is my wife, Christy. I've chosen to place my faith in her. So she knows in every area of my life where I come up short, where I'm a little uncertain, where things aren't the way I would really like them to be. She knows those things about me. Why? Because I'm vulnerable with her. I've placed my faith in her. I believe in her enough to say, I'll put everything that I've got into you. And we do the same thing with Christ. In fact, Psalms chapter 91 is a beautiful psalm of faith. And I encourage you, if you haven't read it, read it today. It will really bless your life. But he writes in Psalms 91:1, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When you get up close to him and you allow his shadow to cover you, you find rest there. He said, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. He says, I declare this. It's a personal decision. I declare that he alone is my refuge. So it's a personal decision and a singular focus. I can't really put all myself into every relationship, into every situation. I can't be vulnerable with everyone and survive. I'm placing my trust, my faith, in those that I offer my vulnerabilities. And David is writing, when you choose to get up next to the Almighty and be vulnerable with him, when you say, he alone is my place of safety, he is my God, and I trust him, you're choosing your place of vulnerability in life. And Jesus calls. He's calling, come on, bring it to me, and I will give you rest. He's saying, bring your vulnerabilities to me, I'll protect you. I am a safe place for you. And thought number three is this. Being vulnerable with Jesus means risking self. Vulnerability always comes with risk. And it means risking self. He says to lie down. The position that in Psalms 23, he says, lie makes me lie down in green pastures. So here he is lying down. That's being vulnerable in my strength. I'm laying down. I'm not as strong when I'm laying down. I'm being vulnerable in my strength, admitting my weaknesses. I'm not strong enough to handle this, God. And he says, lead me beside the still waters. That's being vulnerable in my will. I'm not leading myself. The scripture says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. They're ordered by the Lord, but the righteous man doesn't have to do what he's ordered. He can take other steps if he wants, but if we have this posture of rest, this vulnerability, then it allows us to be led by God. Led by God, by the still water, saying, my decision making isn't enough. My ability to assess the situation isn't enough. I need you to lead me. I can tell you right now, one of my greatest prayers is, lead me, oh God. Let my heart and my mind be open enough to you. My heart, my spirit be sensitized enough to you to where it doesn't take you pushing me or pulling me. You can just simply walk and I will simply follow. I open myself up to your will. Then sitting at the table, and whether this be sitting in a chair like we would do today in our culture or reclining on the ground or near the ground like they would do in a more Eastern cultural style, especially of that day, this is vulnerable and self-preservation. I'm not trying to preserve myself. I'm putting all of myself there in you. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. In all of these positional elements of Psalms 23, in this is the only one that talks about an enemy. This is the only one that says that there's something negative here that I'm having to face. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, whoa, didn't he say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the answer is yes, he said that. But it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I choose, I'm walking the way that I'm walking, and I've made my own path into this, and he doesn't leave me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. So it's a beautiful testimony of God's faithfulness to his children. But he's saying that now God, the one who is doing the leading is setting a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he's inviting me. He's inviting you. Sit down and eat. Sit down and eat. And we're like, whoa, what about the enemy? I see the enemy, and if I sit down here, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be trapped under the table. I'm going to be, my ability to defend myself is limited. And you're asking me to sit down in the presence of my enemy, and that makes me more vulnerable than I am already by myself. And it's as if God is saying, yes, will you trust me with your enemy? Let me take care of them. And I think that this is where most of us find ourselves today. We know that we did not get here in our own strength. We are where we're at right now because God has been leading us. Wherever you're at in your life right now, maybe you're a business owner, maybe you are have great kids or grandkids, or the home that you live in, you know that you're living in the blessings of Almighty God. God has blessed your life, and He's consistently continuing to bless your life. And the whole time we've been working hard, and now we're being told to sit. To sit. Stay home. Sit. Don't go out. Sit. But the enemy is here. For some of us, the enemy is called COVID-19. We're afraid. The enemy is here, and our job is to sit, but is that enough? For others, it's financial security. I've been talking to business owners all week, for the last 2 weeks. The number one statement is, how do I make sure that our employees are okay? Haven't had one of them say to me, how am I going to be okay? Over and over, Pastor, help me pray. I need wisdom on how to make sure our employees are okay. These are people who care. Financial security might be the enemy that's out there. Uncertainty. Maybe you're one of the many who's being affected by this financially, and maybe you've even been laid off, or you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from. It's an enemy. And normally you'd be scouring the pages of the paper and online and Jobs Indeed and all the other, I don't even know if that's a real one, but you'd be looking for ways to support yourself, your family. You'd be out there beating the bushes, making this thing happen. But now you're being told to sit in the presence of your enemy. Sit. For others, it might be isolation and loneliness. That's the name of the enemy that's standing there right now. I'm okay financially. I've got a little margin here, and I can work that out. And I know God's for me, and maybe I'm not even really in a class or demographic of people that's, you know, at high risk for COVID-19. But I'm alone. I feel lonely right now. And that's the enemy that you're fighting. And you want to go outside. You want to go talk to people. You want to go get in a crowd somewhere. You want to do whatever you need to do in order to not be alone. The enemy is there. And you're being told, sit. For some, the internal fight is, well, if I just sit, if I sit, I die. But the truth is, sitting with God may be the only way to live. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he invites you and he invites me to sit and to trust him. So what do you choose today? Do you choose to bring your vulnerabilities to Christ and say, here I am, here's all of me, the good, the bad, the strong, the weak. I trust you with it. And I'm going to trust you to handle the enemy out there. The ones I can see, the ones I can't see. You can keep your vulnerabilities hidden, but it doesn't change the reality that they're there. The arrows still fly by day. The terror still comes by night. But if you're covered by one greater than the enemy, he will cover you. Psalms 91 verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. And in verse number 14, he says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Is there any greater promise than the salvation that Christ can give you? So I would just ask you to bow your heads with me right now and ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? What vulnerability do I need to give you right now? Am I relying on my own strength and I need to be vulnerable in my strength with you so that your strength can replace my strength? Am I willing to be vulnerable in my will? Allow you to lead me, trusting you in your leading. Will I be vulnerable in self-preservation? My sister is just a year, 18 months younger than me. And whenever she was little, everybody would try to help her do stuff. You know, and she would say, let me help you tie your shoes. Let me feed you. Let me, all the normal things. And as soon as she learned how to talk, she started saying, by myself. And then later on, she would string more words together. I do it by myself. Now she's only 18 months younger than me, and she's still telling everybody, I'll do this all by myself. Get out of here. There's a time for being self-reliant, but self-preservation, at some point, we have to be vulnerable enough with God to say, I can't preserve myself. I don't have what it takes to survive in the current situation. I need you. The incredible promise that he gives to you and he gives to me is that when you call him, he will answer. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know the cry of every single heart. You know the vulnerability in every single life. And you are not far away, some distant Father. But you are right here, right now, with every single man, woman, boy, and girl around this globe. We give ourselves to you. not just in word, but in reality, there is no life outside of you. There's no strength that isn't from you. There's no supply that does not emanate from your supply. We trust you today. We rest in you today. And because we rest in you, we take a position of vulnerability. Do what you need to do, how you need to do it. The one thing I'm not going to protect myself from, Lord, is you. I'm all in. In Jesus' name. As the team leads us in worship, I ask you to just give yourself to him. Maybe in a way you've never given yourself to him before. In Jesus' name.